I'm not 100% sure, but I'm not having crashes at the moment. So what I'm having is, so we had a long problem about not finding out why the time syncing up between the relative time in a sort of in a summarized section and the absolute time didn't correspond with stuff, and we found it was some stupid, well, at the moment our best guess is that it was some stupid Java thing about if you have two objects and you say object, say A equals B, they actually reference to the same thing. So any changes you make to one are made to the other. And if you do that around five quarters, you lose track of it and you suddenly wonder why that value is zero. And it turns out it is zero because it's the same thing that you. Anyway, so we figured out. It's interesting. Why don't I have a screen here now? Actually, that's new, but that's okay.
What's
It's
happening?
doing different things all the time. Like, this is the first
Oh,
time that
now
I
you don't have
can.
it on your screen.
But that should be
Um,
okay. That should be okay. I'll be able to.
normally, on at least on Windows machines, it goes through a cycle. So if you press whatever the key
Yeah, but
combination you
last
press
time I pressed
is.
that key combination, everything went wrong, and I think I'll be able to do it just fine on the screen, so that'll probably
Um,
keep me from pointing on my screen,
now
which
it's
I
not,
usually.
now it's not showing
It
anything.
might just be at this point, like there's sometimes a point in loading, not usually that long. Well, let's see. Anyway, so let's just see what happens. In the end, we did get it.
Maybe try
There
key
you go.
combination thing. With the Windows machines, there's a cycle, so that if you press it once, you get it on both your screen and the projector. Another time, it takes it off your
So
screen.
now I'm having a complete mess of like
Mm.
split screens and stuff. I think last time.
Oops. Oh
Yeah, but
well.
that's not what we wanted.
No.
So, but I think if I, this is all about command. Usually it resets this. Amazing strange color combinations I see in front of me at the moment.
Do you want to try rebooting? That seemed to work before, didn't it?
Yeah, we somehow always did it working in a different way every time. So that kept us like basically from doing anything else for quite some time in the last days because we were hunting down this stupid error. I got it fixed in the last whatever 1 hour or something, but so at the moment the program is sort of in between working and not working because we've done lots of changes to try what the error was. Dave, I think actually that the summary at the current moment isn't working 100% correct. But that could be because of the input data. It
Your
seems to just
lapel
take the first
microphone.
utterances more or less.
Did you stick it on there?
I'll
No,
check
you
that
can
out.
move it up a bit.
Like
It's getting a bit closer to
first
you.
if you read through the
Yeah, it
summaries,
should be
they read
okay.
suspiciously fluent, like as in
Yeah.
people's questions and answers, and then if you plot them on the screen where they are at the moment, they
Well,
seem to op
depends which data you use as well, because if you use the data where they're all really high, it does prefer one from the beginning because it just picks the
Yes.
first ones it finds.
So maybe that's where the problem is coming from.
But I'll check it out
Yeah. So this is when you start shifting around your laptop to think that it gets somehow less sloped on the screen. So I'm not pretty sure what this meeting is about, to be honest. I'm going to show this just what we have at the moment, but it's not going to look very different from what we had last time. Don't ask me what happened to the promise that you will get your script where you can use your own stuff, because actually that was sort of ready, but then we sort of started trying to get something more working, and then we got into big problems. So at the moment, I mean, again, we should be at a state where people can load their own script.
I've got time now, like for the next couple of days, so I'll do some of it. Because I was just too busy last week.
Thing is, at the moment, it's just really bad for me. But from Monday on, I can just do 24/7 for this one until it's due. But until Monday, it's going to be really bad. Like, it can probably help people if they have problems with getting what we have running now, but let's see how it
All
goes.
right. Let me know when you're finished.
Okay. So I'll just start up what we have now, and then we can talk about what different people have and stuff.
What's that? It's creeping over the
Sorry.
screen.
Huh? Doesn't look great, does it?
Eek! Yeah, it doesn't. But sometimes you have to take whatever you get and just see how far it gets you.
That's really weird. It just started creeping over.
Yeah, so let's perhaps in the meantime talk about the
numbers reassigned to the dialogue X because I didn't know that you left out those who don't have words, so I just extracted the actual dialogue numbers, and the problem is it's perhaps more dangerous to get mistaken with all those numbers and not knowing why things happen if we just leave out numbers and make new.
Well, as long as the two correspond, then it's fine.
Yeah, sure, but I mean, for all those numbers that are based on words, I can automatically just throw those where it's nothing, but those dialects are like 33 in the first meeting.
Mm.
They have a duration, even though they don't have a word. So for my other measures, I get them, and I don't. I mean, I would have to look for every single write program that looks for every single number and does the magnitude.
Would it be easier if there's a reference file with the actual real ID and the corresponding number?
Yeah, there
so
was index files already.
Is there somewhere?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Yeah, in the raw text index directory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it allows you to map between the different IDs.
So would that solve the problem, basically?
Yeah, I just wondered why do you think it's necessary at all to do that?
Because the whole program works on them being numbered at the moment.
Yeah, and it's a problem if there's no.
It'd be a lot of work for really no extra feature gain at all.
But actually, I think there is something in the audio, shouldn't there? If there's even though there's not a word, I think in the audio there will be something at that point because it has a duration.
What do you think it could appear in the summary?
Hmm?
If it's something in the audio, it's just like a noise, and then we don't want it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can't
so
sort it in the display.
You cut
yeah
it out.
Yeah, you can cut out the ones that don't have any words, I suppose.
But would that not have met summarization anyway, even if they're in the, like, would the ones that have no words and then not have really low information density or something?
I don't know. Because the thing is, it depends if we want to ever display the whole thing at once.
Because you'd recommend you could leave them in and they would never show up in a summary anyway.
If you left them in, it wouldn't affect the way the program works.
Yeah, I mean,
no.
Why do you have a special handling for those?
Well, I don't in the program, it's just they're not in the raw text.
It's just because they would have a blank line and it seems a bit
weird.
But I can put them back in if.
Yeah, it's
well,
just a question I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
Either way is fine by me, as long as the two things tie up, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter whether those are in or out.
Right. Wouldn't you think that if you just write the problem the way that it displays everything, it still leaves those out? Like, if you give those a special information density ID, or if you just put
like minus one or something.
Yes, something like that. And then you just make sure that summary, even in the summarized mode, just never puts them in.
Might be a problem for me at the stage right now because I based everything on not having those.
Actually,
yeah,
it's just the TF IDF wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, my topic segment doesn't make blank lines.
So maybe we should just omit them then.
And what I also did was having two people annotate the first meeting, and so they didn't annotate then. No, the spaces and everything would mess up. I think if I had spaces for the new values, so when I wanted to do correlation, it wouldn't work anymore.
Okay, so maybe we should leave them out then.
Okay, shall we take a quick look at the
Well, what I could do is work further with what I've got now, and then just when I have my the final formula ready, I could apply to the new stuff.
So, Anna, how did you assign the dialogue act number? Did you take the one you found in the in the XML file and just, you know, put it there, or did you?
No, my you know what, my TF-IDF is based on Collins data, so I end up with the
Oh,
same
is the
run
bonds
line.
Okay,
running?
you end up with this.
Yeah.
It is actually,
Okay.
it is jumping
Okay.
now. Sorry.
Yeah, no,
Oh,
if
so the
you
summary is probably okay, because it does.
Yeah, it's it summarized just now. It's just it summarizes stupidly, but at least it's jumping.
Yeah.
Is it
Sure.
still getting old?
Yes, and in fact, at the moment, I don't even know which of the two I'm summarizing over. Do you know, are we.
I can't remember which one it is at the moment.
So at the moment, the configuration is that word importance file is test 3 and TDIDF file
Yeah.
is test 2.
That
I've just switched them around. I have no clue what we're actually doing at the moment.
those names are misleading. Well, the TF-IDF is
Yes,
fine.
actually, since
Word
I've just.
importance is completely misleading. It's
Especially
not word importance
since
at
I've
all.
just switched them around anyway. But that's okay. By the way, I read a paper which makes an important point about combining two things of that type. It's basically it's going all about this fancy concept called geometric mean, which effectively just means multiplying them. But I have some good information about different ways how you can sort of weight two different factors, because it's for something very similar. Somebody who tried to solve a very similar problem where they also had two factors and they wanted to weigh them together, and there's like a good justifiable reason why we should do it in a certain way, and how we can then with a simple parameter adjust how much one weighs and how much the other weighs. So there is something for just for putting them together in a relatively simple way, but still a way that we can sort of justify. We can code stuff from that. Yeah,
Is
shall
it very
we?
complex or
No, it's multiplying them.
Not just multiplying
And
together
like putting them
to
one
a
over the
power?
power of something and the other
Yeah,
over minus
I've
one.
seen that before.
One minus the power of something, and that sort of. And they've plotted some graphs about like where they show like one going from 0 to 1
Yeah.
and the other going 0 to 1, and like how the landscape changes and how the parameter changes, how it works. So it's quite good.
Yeah, I've seen that before, actually.
So that's probably seeing that we're probably not going to go into any whatever base, blah blah blah, macro model, blah 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 about combining them.
No.
That's probably what we should go at. Now this is still not ideal at the moment, David. It's sort of it's overrunning. Like it's okay. So
Yeah.
at the moment we are that far that if I now click onto a segment
Ah,
list.
it's all working like it should do.
Yeah, it's just wait. Sorry, I just resized it.
Where is that going?
Yes, it's like the values are sort of hard coded for the screen sizes in Bison. My screen's smaller. So let's see, I was a stupid user and was clicking on this segment. We probably have to make the segment lines a lot bigger. So then did I get a new summarization? Yeah, I didn't actually see, so can I can take a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you see it's a different text. And you
Oh, so
see
it did work.
it's running through it, and also you see the indicator in where we are is jumping.
Yeah.
So it's skipping stuff. Now, I don't think the summary at the moment is what we want it to be, seeing the words like, oh, and
Yeah,
exactly, right,
it's
sure.
ancient data though,
This seems probably, this is again probably the opposite of what we want, so it's probably some value which you have to like divide by one divide by the value or something. But.
Having said that, it's picking out some interesting stuff. Like we're looking at Atlas, you'd expect to score quite
Yes,
high.
but also every other word in that sentence, we should look at. Are probably in your list of 50 like least important
Yeah,
words in the
maybe, but
universe,
Atlas
so
you'd have thought would be quite high.
it's probably just because if you look at the other one, like this is just their best sentence for like having function words in a row. So, and every other, I mean, this one, so they're developing a big infrastructure. So maybe it's just doing it randomly at the moment, I don't know. But we have some summary working, and that's a good basis to start from. If I promise now that you'll get something where you can vet your own data, and it's sort of ringing
I'm
like a
just quite
bell.
surprised that it all actually worked because I've been working, we've been working on like incomplete versions that haven't worked for a long time.
Yeah.
And to see it all come together.
Yeah, still it's might be having some problem. I think this one overran just before, so we might still have some problem here that it's not stopping at the end. But so Dave, can you make the promise? I'm not making the promise realistically that the girls will very soon get.
Yeah, first thing I'll do is make a load box for selecting a file.
Okay, yeah.
And a script that sets the class path so it can be run with just a script. So class path is like this long.
So at the moment, I've hard coded it to just taking 1/10 of the number of utterances which were in the original selection.
But we don't have a parameter for that.
Yeah. It actually gives you an error if you put it to 20 because there's some things in there which are shorter than 20.
20.
And if you select those, then it's
Yeah,
saying
we
like.
need to add some sanity checking inside of it.
But I think like a proportional one is probably no bad idea. That's, I mean, an absolute length is sort of a bit strange because that means that some utterances will not be changed in length. Anyway, we had that discussion before and I'm confused myself about what I think about it. So the fact that this is going on beyond that green line here is something that's not ideal, but that's something that to sort out. But this is working in general. Does anyone have a general overview of the whole time issue, like, as in, what date is it today? What date do we have to have this presented? What date of the week is that? And issues like that. So the presentation
is exactly in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today. Okay. 1 week from today, I shall hear the freedom ring from the hills and everything, and shall then throw myself into new slavery.
I think we should start to think about evaluation by now. I mean, if you want to have some.
But we don't need it evaluated for the presentation, do we?
Yeah, but it's just 3 days between the presentation
it's,
and.
Oh, because it was moved back,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
No, really?
Yeah.
And the report?
Yeah.
I can write people in, doing a few people at least.
Do you think we're going to have time?
Yeah, I think we should take
as
the
long
time
as we
because
design
I think
it
will be.
As long as we design it beforehand, I think we can probably manage to actually do it in the 3 days after.
Is
you're talking about
it's not
we also
time.
Have to write the thing in that time.
Writing the report won't be so bad. How long is it expected to be?
I don't know. That's 50% of the mark.
I know, but if everyone. If everyone is managing 3 pages for their bit, then that's going to be that's a big report then.
No.
Yeah, but evaluation.
We should probably write some user documentation because I bet that'll get us marks.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, they'd love that kind of stuff.
We should probably.
Just we'll just write you know little help files or something.
Or like integrate tooltips that would be visible.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, got a basic search working on it. It's got a user interface. So
have you Java docked it?
No.
And also, where is it?
Yeah, it's still in my directory.
Because the
put in your directory.
Code version in the group directory is not the right
yeah,
one.
Yeah, I've not been using that. Yeah, I've just been taking the class files from your directory.
Okay.
Having said that, Dave, we could probably, like, if we want, we could probably go back to the group directory and just use this trick. It really seems to be all about starting in the
directory. Yeah.
But I mean, if the two of us are just work on it, it doesn't make a difference because I've already mounted your directory now. So.
Okay. Well, we should wait till we have it ready for you guys to use and we'll put it back in the group directory.
Mm.
So I'll try and do that today because I've got time today. And as long as I don't run into problems, I don't see it taking too long.
The summarization again, you wanted to base it on sentence length as well, and I've got sentence length incorporated into my importance measure at the moment. So
well, in that case, it's probably just, I mean, that's probably fine. I mean,
okay. But if we do it twice, it wouldn't make too much sense.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much should be done in the program because I don't know. I think it should probably be done offline.
What?
The basic combining of all the factors.
Well, if it's just multiplying two numbers, it can be done in the program.
Yeah, sure.
Because what we could do is have a slide file where we can adjust this value. Actually, if you can figure out a way, like how. Basically, a general way, because there's at least 2 points in which we are interested in that. How we can just have a slide bar which we can read and write, which is in a frame of that type. That would be good. It shouldn't be difficult, should it?
Hopefully, we can take over that rate one because we don't need it. That
yeah, but it might be more difficult. Let's see. You could, if you're lucky, you probably just have to extend that class and then you can work with that value. But if you're unlucky, it might be quicker to just write a very simple string component, which is just an R.
You can just add it to the panel. Like Well, I bet that's a pre-made swing component, that little slider, and all you do is add it to a panel.
Yeah. So, because we basically, it would be good to have two different ones to play around with. One for controlling the length of the summary, and another one for the merging factor, if we do it that way with the geometric.
Can you send me a link to that paper so that I'll implement that in the summarizer?
Yeah. It's just a single formula effectively, yeah. How's the audio thing going with that? You've probably not
I've
had
not looked
work
at it, yeah. Like last week, I've just not done anything. But I can't see it taking a long again.
Okay, it seems that at the moment, a lot of the stuff that has to be done is sort of at the moment, I'm saying, oh, Dave, can you do this? So that's not ideal.
But to be honest, I did like nothing really on it last week, so. And I've got time today, tomorrow, and probably Friday.
Okay.
So.
Because I think, I mean, the audio is, the audio is a very important component of it.
Mm.
Just because it's gonna look stupid if we have everything working, but just.
It's just annoying because I need to do that on a DICE machine, so I can't get them to compile under Windows.
They're speech tools.
Yeah. And most of the DICE machines don't have working sound cards, so.
Is there any way for exporting sound?
No idea.
Cause that would be sort of the nice way to sit at home and have it forward the sound at the lowest bit rate to you. I mean, seeing that it's over broadband, it's forwarding the graphics quite okay. It would probably, like, bandwidth wise, probably work out.
I'm not sure if it can do sound or not. No.
But it's probably not a simple thing.
But like, what I can do is. I'm pretty confident that it'll just be writing a script and it'll just go. And as long as I can test the script like once, it's working fine. I can just make it return dummy stuff so it works on other machines.
Yeah, are you not creating files anyway, like sort of real files?
Yes. So.
So that you can do in a DICE machine. Can you?
Oh, actually, I know what I can do. I can. I can change the script. So if I'm using my one at home. Can just add SSH stuff in to evoke the sound tools on DICE and then copy them back.
One problem with SSH in general is that the machine that like the only gateway machines, they hate you for doing anything on them.
Yeah.
And there's no simple way, at least I haven't found one, to directly in a single step sort of SSH and then SSH again. Actually, I guess if you put SSH and you can give a command out right after the word SSH. So if that command is SSH again, and if you that would require that you have all your key files set correctly, which I haven't because it always fucks up on my system. Maybe if you get that working, then you should be able to directly go into another
sure
machine.
I'm sure I can figure out some way to do it anyway.
Yeah.
If it comes to it, I'll just. Install NetBeans and stuff on my Linux machine and work on that.
Because a primitive version of the sound to have relatively soon would be good.
To be honest, there won't be a primitive in between stage.
Okay.
It'll just work.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Okay.
In theory, at least.
So, to come back to the problem we had before, so the reason why the summary didn't work well in the last one, it works well now, is because based on the bottom data, the data is so homogeneously high in its importance rating that it's just sort of then everything else being equal to the first ones, more or less. But now it's working better because now it's on a much more evenly distributed.
I wonder if we should do something like dropping the bottom third and remapping the lowest remaining one to zero and scaling it like that, because you get a much nicer distribution like that.
The most professional way of doing it would be to map them according to the standard deviation, because that way it would automatically always. It's sort of like it's the problem is it's more calculation expensive and slightly more complicated, though it's actually like in terms of calculation it's not much. Have you ever read, you know, generally about standard deviation?
I've not used it to do that before.
It's a very simple formula, basically just whatever the average of mean square differences
yeah.
from the mean or something, which the problem with it is that generally you first have to get the mean, and only once you have the mean you know
there
what.
There is a way of calculating it.
In one go?
Yeah,
yeah,
well, calculating it cumulatively.
I derived that myself, like I didn't find it, so I did it myself,
yeah.
and it took me a day with the formula, but then I'm slow at maths. So the good thing about that would be that if you simply say that whatever, one standard deviation below the mean is zero, and one standard deviation above the mean is one or two standard deviations or something, then whatever the data is like, it would always normalize.
Yeah, that's probably quite a good idea.
Yeah, it's not the simplest, but that's the most professional way I can think about it. That would indirectly also drop stuff, I mean, that would drop
yeah.
whatever is
below. Yeah, that's probably quite sensible.
So if you find that formula, that would be good. Otherwise, I can see if I can still understand, like I did it in my program, it was really stupid, like the standard deviation formula just requires you to have the mean initially, and that makes some things exactly twice as computationally expensive. And there is a way of doing it
yeah, I can't remember it offhand, but I know there is one.
So, yeah, so that's one possible way of doing that.
It could be fine. I mean, running over the data twice, probably.
That's just in the loading stage, right? Yeah, that should actually be fine, especially in the worst case, we just introduce a small hourglass. But anyway, we're only going to present this once, and we can probably just like sort of start it up before the presentation starts. So yeah, we shouldn't at all be worried about it. It's actually quite beautiful. It's like if you want a program only to run once and only a part of it, you don't worry if it crashes afterwards. If it wastes all the resources in form of the hard disk in the end. Anyway, I'm running. And
yeah, Ars never closes the process.
No,
it does
not. I changed it.
It used to not close the process when you click the cross.
You would forget that. That means that you would start it 15 times over and have 15 zombies running. Does anyone know anything about which dice machines have sound cards and how to find them?
No.
Because the thing is, we can't, like this at the moment, it's working because it has a sound card. The interesting thing is that because of the structure of this, it isn't enough to just say, well, if you don't have a sound card, you don't have sound. At least I think that's what I remember.
Yeah, it refuses to load the clock
yeah.
for
no.
some reason.
So
I don't know why.
I've worked around it. There is ways, I think, to get around it, but the problem is, so you basically have to have two code versions, then one for sound card and one for non-sound card machines to test it on. Because you have to change all sorts of other things if you don't have a sound card. So there isn't a simple way to just tell which ones the sound card machines are, just to use sound card machines as there.
Yeah. That makes it really quite difficult for us if we want to
well,
test our stuff and first have to fight for a computer.
Yeah, but I guess, if you trust in Dave's summary for the audio, just putting all these things into sound, then
yeah,
having
sure.
a written
I mean,
summary.
I
just care for the written one. That's
yeah,
like
you still get the written
yeah.
one.
Yeah,
the
so
display. The only thing
yeah.
you don't get is the clock.
Yeah. So
okay.
I think
yeah.
that really the easiest way is if we just make a sound card and a non-sound card version of it. Because
I don't think we should bother because we'll run it on a sound card version.
Yeah, but then that means that the ghost can't test it. That's the problem. Like
yes, it can. All that happens is it refuses to load the clock. You still get the display. And the
yes,
summary.
But without the clock, you don't have. Well, actually, you're right. It doesn't like. It doesn't strictly have to do any movement.
So the
yeah,
the move. I mean, you can still click on the segment, and that will still work, right?
Yeah, but we have to comment stuff out for that. I think like at the moment, if you click on a segment, it automatically sets the whole clock thing going and stuff. So we have to comment out stuff. So that's what I'm saying. That there is. We could make it a flag, couldn't we? We could
yeah.
just make it a runtime flag, and then make a few ifs and say if.
There must be a way of detecting whether the clock's loaded. Like
yes,
in fact, there is. You
there
can
is.
Try and set something on the clock and use try and catch, and then if you catch the exception, set the flag.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's something we should probably do in one way or another because it seems just that the overwhelming majority of dice machines don't have sound cards.
Okay, you want to have a look at the agreement and disagreement data that I worked on last week, or do you have anything more on this?
No, nothing too much to talk about this. So apart from like a search box and the similarity thing, once that kicks off, this is more or less in the end, like this is very similar to what our product will look like in the end. seeing that realistically with a given time frame we're not going to do amazing new things from now on. So we hopefully
perhaps my list of agreements perhaps my list of agreements somewhere.
List of agreements?
Yeah.
We could put those
if
on
we
the display.
Find them good enough.
Okay,
I wanted to
yeah.
provide that an extra list saying
okay.
instead of a list, what about
yeah, I think it
putting
would
it in the display?
It could put good in the display to annotate them in the display.
Yeah, for example.
Yeah,
can you click on a point in time in the display and
not just yet,
there?
But that should that's probably the only thing I can say I can do this week because
okay.
that should be
That'd
I mean
be pretty
I'll
good.
Do it in an inefficient way, I'll effectively sort of go through all the segments and check if they're clicked on. But I think that what we should do is that time click of the clock, I think that's changeable. And I think we should probably increase that because at the moment it's 0.1 seconds. And let's just There's some background noise when it's working, and I think that is because it's like doing so much every time.
Yeah, I don't get that on my machine.
Yeah, it's probably because I'm not sure if you have the version with the display yet, where the display is actually updating up here when it's
no.
moving on. So I mean, yes, it is because my display is programmed inefficiently, but I think with a given time constraints, it's probably easier instead of making a very
okay.
efficient display code to just make the time, make the clock, whatever, 0.5 seconds or something. Do you want to monitor?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can skip more accurately than the time steps, that's fine. Because otherwise you might risk cutting bits off.
If I can skip more accurately, then...
Like, if you want to jump to a point, you need to be able to jump more accurately than half second. By half second, you'll miss words.
Still with that idea that we want to display bars for the individual speakers.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And also explaining speakers
and utterance. I don't know why that is.
Oh yeah, I can. Yeah, I can.
It's probably because it's coming from my resolution and it's even much higher resolutions.
So. Yeah, that's because it's widescreen or something. Yeah.
But, okay, what you see here in this part is.
Here is a list of the most important or most probable words that occur in agreement. So the number in the first brackets is. So I run it on all the BED, BMR, and BRO meetings to learn it. The number in the first brackets is how often it occurred in the utterances that were annotated as agreements by the dialogue act agreement. And the number in the second brackets is how much it occurred in the rest. And the first number in every line is how much more often that is per same text length. So the words that it gives look quite good, I think. It's exciting, perfect, true, interesting, exactly, correct, super, and so on. And then I run it on the first meeting, getting what's in the bracket in this window here is the utterances, and at the moment it can make any differences between, I mean, you get the same value for every utterance that is exactly or every utterance that is sure. And for the longer utterances, I just look how often one of these words is in there and simply add it up. So that should, in principle, favor longer utterances. And so these numbers here, 1 or 0, these here, and that's the dialogue act labels, whether it's if they're annotated as agreement, not zero here. So here, for those who get a, like get a very high score, they're mostly not zero. And some of those who are zero are still very good, like I definitely agree, it's a nice kind of agreement that we probably want to have. And when you get further down, yeah, you see those who have very low score also have no agreements.
Again, I think that's probably a good part if we had a slide bar initially where we could dynamically adapt the threshold of what,
that's what we display, yeah.
Yes, so maybe it's just like, maybe it's just good to have like some generic component with three slide bars or something where we can relatively easily add a fourth one or something, you know,
yeah.
And just like sort of all our fiddle factors.
Obviously we'll hide that in the presentation.
Wait, together we could, like in some cases we could put it as a feature and say, you know, you can dynamically
but we don't want, I don't think we want to have exposed the user doing things like adding the threshold of which
we wouldn't call
display.
It threshold, it's sort of like the granularity of decision, something like that. So
decision factor.
Yeah, and everything above that threshold, I could then at the utterance where it occurs, just put a certain graphical item, like a
yeah.
handshake or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does look quite promising,
so
doesn't it?
It looks quite good, I think. So that's what I got for agreement, then for disagreement I did also, but it's a bit more difficult because there's so little disagreement. Yeah, so by again see the list, but it's much shorter and it's
so you have happy faces and angry
yeah,
faces.
Yeah,
so
it's the same, like it's so tempting.
Smileys.
Like, it's yellow smileys and yellow angry faces. beautiful.
And that is here the list of utterances it gets us for the first meeting.
Didn't somebody say that actually like a lot of agreements have actual words which are such as disagreement, like?
Yeah, I mean I think perhaps that's why we have but rated so high here.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So can you
I think things also rated higher in the non-agreement than in the agreement.
So will that produce basically an agreement and a disagreement score for every dialogue act?
Yes. Yeah, that's...
So could you put them in the same format as the other data?
Yeah, it's just...
And
I mean
I'll make
it's exactly
cast to read it in.
Thing that just... I would just have to rescale this factor here. And, I mean, this is the dialogue that numbers. So.
Alright, okay. So I could probably read it from
yeah, I can just give
already.
It to you in the format you want. So
my preferred would be dialogue act number.
Then and then the score, yeah. This was
you can put
for
both the scores in one file.
Huh?
You can put both the scores in one file if it makes it easier.
If they're corresponding for each thing, yeah, they should be right. So for each utterance you have one
agreement
and
one
disagreement.
Yeah.
So I'll read that into, I'll make it part of the get measure thing, so you can just get it with a flag, using get measure.
Okay, yeah. The one
so you know how zero is TF, IDF, one is the, well
yeah.
I've called it word importance, but that's a really
you know what, if you can,
misleading name.
If you introduce like sort of a static, what's it called, public static int, so basically a constant, like that's just a constant, give them names. Like so, zero TDIDF one. That probably makes the code a lot more readable for everybody who's playing around with it. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like whatever three means agreement value, and then I just write something agreement, and then it's easier to understand for both of us what's going on.
Yeah.
One problem I still have is with all the years, because I mean, obviously they all write it the same. So I was thinking. Perhaps at looking at the acoustic measures I have, so for example at my F0 deviation, but by now I just had a look at the year data, and actually the average F0 deviation is only slightly higher for the positive ones than for the negative ones. I mean there is a difference, but it's probably not significant enough to really make use of it. But
I would also
investigate some.
But
the
problem is, yeah, it's occurring not only as an agreement, but really frequently as like an encouragement as well.
Yeah. So, and my hypothesis was that if it's really, like agreement, it will sound different than if it is just a back channel.
But you know what? I think we should put the threshold for that in the end quite high anyway. It probably doesn't make much of a difference because I think this thing.
But that has nothing to do with the threshold.
No,
because you don't have it only with yes, you have it also with words that are much higher ranked. You have the same problem, like for example, with yep is much higher ranked because it occurs less often in the training thing.
But I mean, the fact that different ones have the same number in itself isn't a problem, is it?
No, it's only if they are used in different contexts.
So if for every yep you'd be sure that it's an agreement, then that wouldn't be a problem. So you're saying that you're not sure if every yep is an agreement?
Yes, I know that not every yep is an agreement because this right yep and okay things are typically also big chunks.
And what's the highest ranked one that kind of problem occurs with? Because if it's below about, because I saw those ones up in the 80s, wasn't there? If it's below like 50, it's probably not exactly. No, they're all.
Yeah,
like
you would throw a lot away that are quite good.
Because on the display, we probably take quite high, so it would only matter if it occurs on ones that are really highly ranked.
So, over how many different. Over which length is this now? This is like. So, the third column is the occurrence where it occurs, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I think we really do have to put the threshold
quite
high then, because
well, otherwise you'd get icons all over the place.
Yes, I was just checking, you know, like how far apart are they? And at the moment, that's definitely not a good thing to display if they're like an average 10 utterances apart.
Yeah.
So we probably want to take a threshold at least of 50 or 60, just as a looking at that.
I think for this meeting, there were, around 90 annotated agreements, or, agreement dialogue acts.
So we probably wouldn't want to display 90. We'd want to rate them, how important they were.
I mean, the best ones are definitely those on the first screen here. So
again, I'd say probably a good way of going about that question is to have control which we can vary in the
and see how it turns
and then
out.
Just sort of, because that's in the end how it's going to be evaluated, you know, in the end this is kind of like, I mean, we're going to present it and say yeah, so this is how it shows disagreements, and then we see what looks good and what looks, I think for me looks credible, like if every sort of every topic segment has
an agreement at the end.
Yeah. Something in between 3 and 5 agreements, but not more, probably maybe less, but not much less. So actually, I think that doesn't have to be one in everything.
Yeah. Probably have to plot them because some of them are also, I mean, this is just added by different speakers, for example, where immediately following one another is just two speakers agreeing, I think. Same for this one here.
So, yeah, we probably want to merge ones that are very close.
I mean, they will be optically merged anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, but maybe in an expensive way, or maybe in a stupid looking way, then.
We should probably make some logic when it displays it.
Yes.
If there's ones very close together, it just.
Yeah, I also think that
can
probably be done in display level.
It's looking quite good though.
It's going to crash. Mine just crashed. Just bad. It probably just kept on playing and now reached something.
I think it's always really funny that when you look at people's computers who don't use a computer much, their desktop's really tidy. And when you look at people who use it all the time, there's stuff everywhere. So mine's like that as well.
I only keep the stuff I actually need on it, and then I clean it up every, you know, every
My God.
But actually, this all here is SSD because it was data I that didn't fit on my quota anymore.
So do we want to have keywords for each topic segment or something?
Yeah.
Who provides the values for that?
No one, yeah.
I think sort of the bottom line, which might well end up what it's going to be like, is that we take the single highest ranked utterance and put that as a title, like realistically looking at this from the time we have left to do this and stuff.
Because what I do is having values for each segment at the moment, so I could just extract the highest ones for each segment.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
It could be good.
At least I could provide some value.
Yeah, maybe on a single, like, is that on a word basis? Would that be single words, or would that be...
It doesn't matter to me.
Check out what they would be like on a word basis.
Yeah.
Maybe actually if there's one word which is very typical, and it's probably somewhere like, because that's like the only time that air was spelled with 3 A and stuff. I think actually that might be a problem of the whole annotation, that if they aren't exactly consistent in how they transcribe stuff like that...
Yeah, same thing with... with the U's and so on.
Yeah, that's what we're seeing sometimes, like, why is mm high, but then probably it's the only time that mm was spelled with a dot at the end and stuff, so... But yeah, like, if single...
Maybe we should download a dictionary and check our utterances before we listen to make sure that they're actually real words.
I have dictionaries. If it's just, like, I have arbitrarily long lists from the British National Corpus of when you
that do not include hmm.
Well, let's say at least they do it consistently enough that I think you can filter them out fairly well.
Yeah, I mean, see how it turns out. If they look good, then that's a good way of doing it as any of those ways.
Yeah, so if like, I mean, if the single best one word for a segment. It's interesting, that would be really good.
Mm.
Actually, what I think you should do is take the highest 3 and 4 and then just merge them together into one utterance. It wouldn't make any sense, but it'd give you an idea of what they're actually talking about. If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
We're going backwards, you know, suddenly.
Especially when the segments are really long.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was sort of in the original content in the nice fancy drawings that you gave Stephen. I mean, that was part of it, that sort of within the segment you had these sub-segments and each of them had different words and whatever happened to our dreams?
Yeah, I don't think we have time for that.
No, I don't think
we have. Which is a shame, because it would have been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, are we going to have time to make it display like a whole archive of meetings? Or is it just going to be displaying single meetings and you look up?
At the moment, it doesn't really care how many meetings it's displaying.
Poor man's solution is probably going to be to have a
just
list.
Draw a big black line on the borders, I think.
Mm.
Oh, so you're thinking of loading them all at once?
Well, you can if you want to.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It can display from any utterance to any other utterance. It doesn't really...
Yeah, you see at the moment the dialogue IDs, they start at 0 for each meeting. They don't run continuously.
Uh-huh.
But you'd like them to
run
continuously.
Yeah, I
prefer
to run continuously.
Yeah, I can change that.
Okay, then you will provide a file with all the mappings?
Yeah, just change the index
values.
Okay. Because that way all we have to do to display more than one meeting is have a harder boundary drawn.
Yeah, I think that like the drawings we changed anyway, there it's not pretty at the moment. Yeah, so if performance-wise it generally works fine. For the display it shouldn't make much of a difference, because I think everything in the display code is just from the first until the last one displayed, so if the other performance is okay, then we should really just load the whole thinking.
One thing we will have to do is we'd really want a different behaviour if we clicked on a whole meeting, a segment. So if there's more than one meeting displayed, it should, if you click even on one of the segments of that meeting, I think it should reinitialize and display that just that meeting. So I'm not sure how easy that would be to do.
See, that probably just means that the display sort of has an internal knowledge about what level of zoom it has. So initially the display...
It just needs to know whether it's displaying more than one whole meeting, doesn't it? That's the only knowledge it would need.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, we can sort that out if we have time once we've got everything
That's
else.
Probably fairly simple to do, actually. If we do it in that most primitive way of just saying as long as you display more than one meeting.
Yeah. That gets sufficient to claim that we've implemented some kind of zoom as well.
Yeah. We then need some way of getting back up again in the hierarchy. But then in the worst case, it will just be a static sort of error button in the right hand upper corner of the display. You press that and then you're on the display the whole thing again.
Mm.
But for that, at the moment, my display code needs that thing to work. That's working at the moment anyway. The one that I just say, give me 100 values over that length, and then you're internally.
Yeah, it's not done in a very clever way.
Okay, but yeah, that's okay. As long as my display, I was just thinking my display can't handle displaying a million different seconds, but now, no, but it doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, it doesn't have to. Okay, well, that's all details. So, Dave, can you just turn this what we have right now?
Basically, do a code freeze on it.
Do you want me to put the search in soon?
I'll probably tonight just work on getting a frozen version that works consistently.
Yeah.
And if you could document it for me, that's probably enough for me to add it in. Unless you want to do it. I've not documented the program manager class, so it's a bit hairy at the moment, isn't it?
Anyone feels that they have free time? This is the show. One thing that would be convenient for all sorts of things in which I haven't found out about it is how to do tooltips in an arbitrary way in Swing graphic displays. Now, there are simple ways of doing tooltips over a given element, like if you have a button and you just give it a tooltip text, but there is means of doing tooltips that just, like, I put my mouse over, let's say I put my mouse over this line here, and then it would tell me something about what it is. And that would be quite convenient for a lot of things, because then we can sort of have a lot of information in the display in the way that just passes over it, but I haven't figured out how it works, and that's something that probably. So if everyone is ever bored, or if anyone feels that they can do that.
Okay, so probably what you'd want to do is detect where the mouse is and change the default tooltip for that component.
Yes.
Because it automatically displays at the correct position when you hover.
Yeah, but. The thing is, it isn't simply an act of setting a string default tooltip. There seems to be something about a tooltip object that you have to create and give it all sorts of different properties and stuff.
Well, you might not really want to be creating a new one every time you move the mouse.
So anyway, I haven't looked much into that. So if anybody looks into that, then let me know. Otherwise, I'll start looking into it as soon as I have time again. But if anybody...
I'll have a look through some of my Java books, because it might be a sort of thing they have.
I found some stuff about it on the web, and it should look to me like proper coding. Like, I saw half-page code samples which effectively just displayed a tooltip, and I didn't have the time at that point to get deeper into that. So if anybody gets any good samples of that. Anyway, is that it for now?
Is that version all in there?
No, but I'm going up in power now, and I have my external hard disk, so I can.
So I'll start working on that in like half an hour or something, and then it'll be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any dice machines in this building?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty accessible for me. Can you show me where? Because I'm actually not going to have the tower at the moment, so I don't have to go up and down. Actually, no, but I have to go there anyway and put a piece of paper on two machines where some stuff of mine is running. Yeah, and I think like I'll just kick in full time for NLSSD next week, because there's nothing more to do. apart from cognitive modeling, which I think I was just doing 5 hours, 3 hours. You take a look at that?
Yeah, but not too detailed, so.
Mm. I might just not go for the last question, because usually the last question so it takes half the time and gives you 5% or something. Okay.
Yeah, so you're going to talk about the evaluation next week.
We really need to get in contact with the other group and see if they want to do a joint evaluation.
Yeah, we can.
We need to get their email addresses.
Yeah, I think they're on the NLSSD webpage.
Are they?
Mm.
At least their names and if we have
their names,
then
we can
get
their
email.
So you do send them an email, because I was hoping that Steve would mention it to them, because we've mentioned it to him so many times, but he obviously hasn't.
No, maybe he has mentioned to them, but they just made the podcast and we didn't talk to them. So. It's sort of coming as a shock to me now, because I was sort of in this mindset, like I first knew, oh, there's a lot of time between the presentation and the report, and then I knew, oh, now the presentation has shifted, but the correlation between those two facts, the interdependencies, there's some fancy planning language about that.
There's the frame problem.
Yes, it's probably some version of the frame problem. Frame plot problem hasn't been clear to me.
I think it's coming together not bad at the moment, actually.
Mm. By the way, how long, how much time do we have for the presentation?
Yeah, probably as long as we need.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but more like 20 minutes or more like an hour?
Well, I reckon
I can't see it going on for an hour.
Yeah.
So
I reckon that.
Yeah, I mean, if you present the components or what it's based on, then you will need more than 20 minutes to present it. Yes.
But if you just
question.
Present the functionality of the thing, if you're not.
Yeah,
I don't think this presentation is about the internal working. So
yeah, I thought it's
mm-hmm.
a demo, basically.
Yeah. So for a demo, I think realistically, since everything in this university sort of works in 1 hour slots and stuff, so. If it's two groups, then it probably is going to be roughly
no.
a half an hour-ish.
Yeah.
And like 10 minutes of that will probably be set up time as well.
Hmm?
10 minutes of that will probably be set up time as well.
No, why? This is going to be so bad. Like, there's going to be some small.
Well, maybe you should present it on your laptop, because we can be really sure it's running before.
Yeah, but
we
the
go.
Performance is really bad at the moment on that.
Mm.
Plus, we would have to get the speech tools running on the laptop.
I could probably get my computer in. I could get someone to give me a lift. I know a couple of people with cars.
Yeah, maybe
oh,
we can get to do
let's
that.
See,
it's guaranteed it works.
It could just be fluent on the laptop for all I know. I mean, like at the moment it's not too bad apart from, I think the sound is stuttering, and that's, I think, because of the laptop. We can only really judge that once we have
yeah,
sound.
So I don't need to bring a monitor or anything, I just need to bring a box.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure I could nick a lift or someone.
How fast is yours going?
My computer. Yeah, it doesn't have Linux.
So NetBeans would run on anything but.
Or JBuilder.
Yes.
In fact, you shouldn't even need either as long as you've got JBuilder.
That's true.
Yeah, I
think
it would run it right.
But it all relies on finding some way of getting the speech tools to do their job.
Oh crap, I forgot about that.
Yeah, see, that's. Because that's the thing, like, that would rely on
BigWin, maybe.
I just thought it's a good idea to run the speech tools in
in Cygwin.
Mm.
No, but Cygwin should run the Java as well.
No. Wherever this is going, it doesn't sound good. Can use my laptop as sort of like as a
sound
server, as a sound server, but that would mean that you have to get the speech tools running. Now, you know, I think, I mean, the way Java works is that I think it'll run on their guys machine if we do it.
Hopefully, yeah.
We should definitely test it the day before.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll let us test it out before we go.
So Dave, are you going to make something primitive that people can load their data in?
Yeah, I'll do that. And I'll make a script to run it and put that in the group directory. And I'll send around the email when it's on.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what needs to be changed to make it work with the make it not crash if it doesn't have a sound card. There's quite a bit you have to comment out for that. Which is stupid.
It'll be the bit where it creates the clock. Or is there stuff on the display as well?
You know, the thing is the display calls methods to probably expect them. So I think if the display itself isn't doing anything clocky, so as long as in the main, in the program manager, everything clocky is removed. But it might be worthwhile to check how much more work it would be to do it over a flag. Because then, in the end, because otherwise we always have two code words and people might be changing the
rules. Well, really, we shouldn't even need a flag. You should be able to do it with exceptions. I mean, this is kind of like exact case that exceptions are made for, really.
Yeah, that's true. I know that like if you don't do the exception, you actually get crashes that we'll figure out. Like,
yeah.
If you don't have a sound, kind of crashes if you don't have a sound. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, do you see in the program manager, do you have a method to set the current ID so it'll update the display? Because that's what I'm going to need when I'm getting the search results.
Oh no, it's going to have to do something a bit more complicated than that. What it will have to do is deregister everything as time handlers and then update and then re-register them.
Right.
I think the display has some method for it, like for the program manager then to call. I'm not actually 100% sure what it's called, but the display has some method where you tell it to start and return.
Yeah, well, as far as I've got at the moment, I've made a results class that's got, like, the ID.
Have you got a component for displaying lists of matches?
Yeah. I'm working on it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, it's not too hard to do. All you have to do is deregister everything that's a time handler first.
Right.
Before you add the stuff in. But, depends what behaviour you want. Do you want, when you click on a search result, we definitely want that one to appear in the summary.
Yeah, and it might not be there.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was thinking that might be a problem.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was thinking it's exactly the same thing that happens when we say set selection, but it's not. But actually, set selection does everything you want, sort of.
Yeah, it sets. If you look at set select.
No, but set selection doesn't update the display, though, because.
Does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't tell the display which part to display, because the display is just called set selection.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because if it's jumped to in the end text area, then you'll display the line will jump, won't it?
Yeah, but that only works, that at the moment isn't done through our system, that's just done because then the time changes. It's actually a time change would automatically put the position in the display in the running play. No, but that's not a good idea because that could well be outside the displayed area then.
And also the real time playtime stuff will change.
Yeah. So
we need to reinitialize the display, don't we?
Yeah, and I think the display has a method for that ready, which is called display is something useful for that. Something for the software will set. Yeah, you can set the window start utterance and window end utterance.
But yeah, we need to do something to ensure that the search result is in the summary that's created. So we probably want a different summary constructor that takes an additional argument of an ID, and that utterance will always be in the summary.
Alternatively, there's always the method of just giving it a really high score as a hack, you know, just.
Yeah,
as long as you then don't, well, probably people wouldn't.
But the
know.
Trouble is that still doesn't guarantee that it will appear because if you get enough of them that are high scored, it prefers the first ones it sees.
You could put 1.1 when the other ones only go up to 1.
Yeah, I suppose.
But no, it's not a nice way, I'm just saying.
You could, when you're doing a search, you could just like sort of zoom back out till you've got the full text for that segment or that meeting rather than a summary. Because that's maybe what you'd want if you were a user.
Yeah, probably that's actually true that if you're doing a search, you're usually not interested in a condensed way, but in the full thing anyway.
You can provide an option.
You can
achieve
the same
thing.
Otherwise,
it would be too complicated to cope with the system if you have to readjust it to a different zoom level to get better results.
probably
yeah,
the way
yeah,
to
it's
handle
strangely
that
in the eyes of the user.
Would be to make a summary that's the same length
yeah.
as the selection, and that would ensure that the search term came up.
Alright. Yeah.
I think proportion, like even though I'm always getting myself confused about this, but I think sort of making the summary length thing generally proportion, like as a proportional
yeah.
factor of its original length, is a good way of going about it, because anything with absolute length is sort of stupid, because that means that a long, long segment gets to 1% of its length and another one gets to exactly the same length and stuff. So if you're doing it by proportion, then just having 1.0 or something
yeah, exactly.
makes it very easy to go with another. Actually, that's what I've currently, like the current code just takes a tenth of
yeah.
the summary.
But we'll have that slider.
Yeah. And that's the type of slider that we can actually leave in and like show
yeah,
that's
very
functionality. Yeah, that's sort of like your level of soon impending doom. Shall we quit here?
Yeah.
Anything to discuss? Okay, so I'm gonna copy.
Okay. And I'll stop working on say two. I'll be done with it.
Yeah, otherwise you'll definitely see my name again, so
okay.
I'll just
I think this is gonna come together quite well actually.
No. Oh yeah, I didn't actually, well, I sort of was staying because I couldn't really get out of my seat that I was falling asleep again. It was, no, I don't have it with me now because I left my daughter at home. So, whenever
did
she
present anything useful about...
No, I
mean about the system
we're
working on,
the Vekka system. Well, he started Vekka once, and he sort of went quickly through what he do, but I didn't pay very much attention to that. And so it didn't look to me like he wasn't doing an overly thorough instruction to Vekka. It was just a 10-minute very quick, this is how you started. And
yeah, okay.
And
had a look at it, and I was wondering if there was any documentation or anything at all to figure out what
I think there's quite a few people from courses that have
used, you.
I think there's quite a few people who have done courses that do a lot of Vekka stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that thing might be the team up with those things. They can make any sense.
Nice.
I can't allocate more than a, like really like half an afternoon to
mm-hmm.
get
yeah.
out.